I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
Steph, welcome to episode 165.
165, and he's back.
Like every fifth episode, it's just Steph and I sharing stories with friends. And today we have our good friend, Mr. Adam Bennett.
Adam Bennett.
Thank you.
He is back.
Love being here.
So, Adam, Steph and I have noticed, have picked up a new bad habit. And that's called lying to our kids.
It's bad.
It's matter of survival. So
bad. It yes, is.
That's exactly right.
Oh my gosh, Adam. Like, when people are like, well, we lie to our kids, I'm like,
how dare you?
Like, gotta be honest. You gotta get them in the face, like, get down to their level, be honest with them.
And Steph, I don't think we did this on our first two.
I was gonna say, but then the third one
this
came.
This third toddler, you and I have, like, almost made it a game of lying to this kid. So
what, we're almost trying to one up each other and who's like be better.
Gosh. So, Adam, what brought this about was, we'd interviewed Lizzie Post, who's the president, co-president of the Emily Post Foundation,
yes,
which is based on etiquette, mm-hmm, all things etiquette. And so when I was researching her, they have all these articles on their website, and it's very, very good. I mean, really well done. But there was one article I saw, and it was titled, Can You Teach a Toddler Etiquette? Which got my attention, because not our toddler.
They're feral.
So I wrote this down, because at first, it actually made me start to kind of feel bad about lying to our kids, but I guess not bad enough to change our behaviors. So the article was, quote, make trust and truth-telling a foundation of your relationship with children from the start. Don't lie in front of children. Don't trick or deceive them. So my initial thought was, whoever wrote this article obviously does not have children.
Sure.
There's no way. Mm-mm. Does not have children, as I was reading through here.
Not because, more than one. I mean, honesty, okay. Honesty, well, can work with maybe a single. You got time and energy and
that's
care.
A good point. Yes.
And then, oh, after two, three, four, you're just getting through the day.
Like, you have four children yourself.
Yes.
And the ages range from, what, 7 years old to 13?
Eight to 14.
Okay, so it's off slightly. And then ours is now 5 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steph and I, off the top of our head, want to give you some examples of us lying to our kids. And feel free to
we're
chime in.
We're hoping you can beat us.
I guarantee
this.
You've got some examples. I mean, one of my favorite stories of Adam was of him lying to his son
about
Disney World. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That was the foundation of my pyramid of lies.
Was not wanting to go to Disney World?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the older we get, Steph, I think, the more we are lying. Okay. So, the first thing that I thought of was, this was just like 2 weeks ago. Adam, we went to Snow Trails, and this is a snow resort, ski resort, about an hour away from here, folks, and we went on a Saturday morning with the kids. We wanted to go snow tubing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tate, who just turned 5, of course, struggles listening at times, like a lot of toddlers do, and this snow tubing area, of course, has that like magic carpet, mm-hmm, that you grab your tube, step on the magic carpet. There's no handrails, no nothing. It's just taking you up this hill, and of course, I can't be holding Tate on this. So Tate's standing in front of me. And a lot of times I'm kind of holding onto his hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
But he would get rambunctious because this was about a 5-minute ride up the hill till you get to the top.
Uh-huh.
So he was sticking his foot out and like stepping on the non-moving part. And there's no handrails. And if you step off this magic carpet, there's literally just ditches on both sides. Okay. So after about 5 times of telling him, stop stepping on the side, and him saying, why? I'm like, okay, here's what's going to happen, Tate. They're going to come and arrest us, okay? If you fall off of this carpet, they're calling the police, and they're going to arrest you and me. Is that what you want to happen? Okay.
Daddy can't go back to jail.
it actually worked. Okay, so he stopped stepping off the magic carpet for the rest of the hour and a half that we were there. Okay, so then we start sliding down the hill, and it's got, what, these snow banks of walls?
Yeah.
Ice banks? Okay, that you are sledding in between.
Yeah. So then he starts, instead of like being upright, he starts like
arching
laying
his back.
Yeah, laying back, like spread eagle, trying to get like just be flat in his tube.
So he's, tube. Okay.
He's on his own tube.
Yeah.
Steph and I are holding on to his tube.
Yes.
Okay. But you can't hold on to him inside.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So he has kind of free rein about
how he arches
arching his back and all this. So
he starts like going all the way back, like laying down flat. And I'm scared his head is going to start hitting those banks.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Because we're turning as we're going down.
Yes.
You see the test scores coming down as you do that.
100%.
Concussion.
So I'm like, buddy, you can't do that. So he kept doing. I'm like, buddy, your head is going to pop off. And then we're done. And then the snow.
You have to add, we're done. Right. Your head is going to pop off, and then we have 2-3 more runs after that, max.
And so then we get on the magic carpet to do it again, and Elle's like, Tate, you do not want your head to get cut off if it hits against that wall.
She knows you're lying.
And
right?
I'm like, yes, she does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tate, you do not want your head to get chopped off on these ice walls, so you got
to
stop.
But now he's starting to get a little smarter because he's like, wait a second. Are you kidding me? And I'm like, no.
It's not a joke. It's deceit.
And it's kind of required right now with that child. Oh, my gosh.
Adam, you have to have stories.
Yeah. I mean, the one that came to mind is one of my twins. When they're done with school, my twins are done with school at the end of the day. They come home and play school,
okay,
which is utterly insane to me. They're girls, in case the audience couldn't figure that out. Who else is going to play school when you're done with school? So the twins are girls, and one of them, as she writes, she's constantly asked, how do you spell this? How do you spell that? And Cody makes the mistake of spelling one or two words, and then she'll get asked the other 12. Izzy will ask me, how do you spell? And I go, I can't read. I just flat out say it. I hit, okay, I don't know, no clue.
After the third word, you're like, I'm done.
I'm just like, I can't read. I sign everything with an X. And she's just like...
That was like, Steph the other day, Tate non-stop is asking questions. And so finally I'm like, Tate, you got to stop. Because he'll constantly be like, mama, 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 until you say something. And so we're in the car. I think you were texting and you're kind of ignoring him. And so as soon as I pull in the driveway, I'm not even in park. Steph gets out of the car and she's like, mama, done. She just like slams the door. Like, I am done answering these questions, child.
One of the twins, you know, Izzy is very high energy and she asks a ton of questions. And, you know, you tend to sort of hedge and try to redirect her after a while. One time, for my own amusement, I told Cody, I go, I'm going to take a walk with Izzy and I'm going to answer every one of her questions and not slow her down at all. And see how far she goes and see how many. I did it as an experiment because I wanted to see how far she would go. The walk was 18 minutes, and I kid you not, she hit 123 questions.
Oh, no.
No!
You actually counted.
Because everything was a follow-up. Boom, boom, boom. And I just kept counting. Boom. And I remember we came back. I looked at my watch. It's 18 minutes. She hit 123. It was amazing.
Of questions?
Yes. And I got back because I didn't slow down at all. I was very prompt.
Yep.
I answered every follow-up. And so she just, it just cascaded.
Rapid
because
fire.
She was getting, and it was astounding. And I can remember getting back because Cody knew I was going to do the experiment. I go, 123, 18 minutes.
And I need a nap.
And she's like, really? Yeah, I kid you not. It was unreal.
Steph, why did you tell Adam kind of what we've done at times? And it's not that I'm proud of this, but what we've done at times is teaming up on lying to the kids just for our own fun.
We just try to one-up each other.
We totally do, Adam.
We try to one-up to see how far we can go to where the kids are like, wait a second.
Call you out on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So a few months ago, Emmy and Elle went to lunch or went somewhere on a Sunday afternoon with Papaw and Mamaw. And so we just had Tate. It was just the three of us. And so when they got home, we went somewhere. I think it was to your parents or something stuff. And so on the way there, Emmy and Elle were like wanting to know what did they miss while they were gone. And so Steph throws out, oh, we went to the zoo. Or you guys went to lunch. They're like, are you serious? Like, you went without us? And then we saw the reaction, and then we started started trying to one-up each other.
While at the zoo. Then,
yes, that was the next one. I'm like, oh, while at the zoo, we rode the giraffes. They're like, what? You let us feed the giraffes. You rode them? Yep, sure did. We sure did.
Side saddle.
And then after that, we finished early, so they had some airplanes nearby. We flew to Disney, and we had lunch at Disney World. And I was like, you're kidding me! You went without us! It's so Steph and I just back and forth, and then I forget how long it was. We're like, "Are you teasing us?"
All right, come on, be honest though.
Like, sorry, it was like the best day ever, girls. I'm not gonna lie.
Have you seen what you get with that gold pass at the zoo, man? Giraffe rides, great.
But Steph and I are like high fiving each other because we were awesome. Just crushing the kids.
Kevin, did you know the two things I love to do is eat and support small businesses?
That is correct.
And Snacks with a Twist checks both boxes.
From specialty pretzels to sweet treats like peanut butter bark and our kids' favorite Buckeye marshmallow pops, this store is a one-stop shop for snacks, treats, and gifts.
You guys will not be disappointed with anything you purchase, and they will ship it to your doorstep. They are a proud sponsor of Tell Us a Good Story.
Why don't we share a story with Adam about some of the funny things that have happened over the past couple weeks, I guess, right? So with Emmy, I guess we already talked about her being embarrassed now. But I did have a funny moment, Adam, with her maybe 2 weeks ago. She was invited to a friend's birthday party, and it was in a neighborhood maybe 2-3 miles away from here. I had the street number, had the street address. One was Maple Tree Court. It was connected to a road that was Maple Tree Drive.
Oh, they shouldn't be allowed to do
it
that.
They shouldn't. Mm-mm.
But this road went over another road and then went to a cul-de-sac, okay? So Maple Tree Court crossed over Maple Tree Drive. So here's the problem. There were two homes on that same street with the address of 8403. So I'm driving there to take Emmy to this home that I've never been to. Mm-hmm. Guess which one I stop at? The wrong 8403. So I pull in the driveway. No lights on. No, it's like probably 6 o'clock at night, Friday night.
Low-key party.
And immediately, Emmy's like, Dad, are you sure this is the address? I'm like, look in the mailbox. It says 8403. And so she's like kind of far behind me, like multiple times, Dad, are you sure this? I'm like, sure. Let's see what happens. It says it right here. Like, I walk over to the mailbox. I'm like, Emmy, I'm pointing to the mailbox. See? 8403. That's what it says.
What's going
to
happen is somebody's going to get a present who's not expecting one.
So as we're walking up to the door, Emmy's like, Dad, this doesn't look like a house we'd have a party at. And I'm looking, I'm like, yeah, you're right. This doesn't look like a house that kids would be living in right now. So, you know, ring the doorbell, knock it on. And so this guy comes to the door. And again, it's 6 o'clock. This man is probably 70 years old. Okay. Has his pajamas on.
Oh.
He's in his bathrobe. And he doesn't open the door. He's yelling through the door as if I've got COVID or something. So then that forces me to yell back through the door. Yeah. And I yell, hey, is this where the party's at? And he's like giving me hand motions like down the street. Yeah. I'm like, so there's no birthday party here? And he's like, no, you're looking for Maple Tree Drive. Keep going 400 feet. I'm like, okay, I got you. And then Emmy's like literally hiding behind my back.
She
is hiding behind my back. And like, not what I was expecting at all, but I was just thinking, like, imagine how many times this has happened.
Oh, yeah, he was ready for it.
Like, every pizza delivery guy has probably stopped there by accident. Yeah. And so I've never seen it like that ever. So Elle, our 7-year-old, Steph, I haven't told you this because I wanted to get your reaction on this. Okay, so the other day, you went to work early before the kids got up. Elle was getting ready for school, and she came into our bedroom and asked me if I could put on her necklace for her, which on this necklace, Steph, you can put a small picture inside.
Yes.
She then asked if that evening, if I could take a picture of Mama, cut it up and put it inside her necklace.
Aww.
I told her.
She's not embarrassed of you.
I told her, yes, honey, we can do that. And she said, good. That way I have something of Mama when she dies.
Oh. She's lining it up. She's going through your jewelry.
I was like, whoa, that pivoted. That pivoted quick.
That took a quick turn.
Going through her jewelry. Like, we need to do this tonight, Dad.
I saw her when she got up.
Did not look good.
It was rough. She thinks she's sneaking out of here before we see her. Oh, I look out the window.
She's definitely on her way to the hospital, Dad. All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So, Adam, one of our things we do daily is at dinner, we will go around the table and we'll ask, hey, tell mommy and daddy one good thing that happened today. And so we'll go around the table and then Steph and I will do it as well. We will share one good thing that happened today. And that just gets us talking, opening up. So this one evening, I had asked out, tell me one good thing that happened today. And she couldn't think of anything. I'm like, okay, tell me something that happened today.
Was it a school day?
Yes. Okay. This was at school.
I can see on a Saturday if y'all been together anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She said there was a girl at school that had come up and asked her if she could play with Elle. And I was like, okay, what did you say? And she said, I told her, let me think about it.
Oh.
And I said, okay, well, then did you play with her? And she's like, no. Then I just left. I didn't play with her. And so I obviously was not happy with that response at all. Uh-huh. Okay? At all. So
she got a better offer.
We had... So we had a conversation.
We had a teaching
moment there. And so I told Elle she had to go to school and she had to play something with that girl the very next day and explain how that was not a very kind response. So the next day, same thing, get to dinner. And I'm like, okay, Elle, did you play with a girl at school that day? And Elle said, yes, Dad. And I said, okay, well, how did it go? What did you say to her? And Elle said, well, I went up to her and said, my dad says I have to play with you today, so let's play.
There's that foundation of honesty you want. So, there it is.
So I'm like, L, please tell me you didn't say that. She's like, no, I never. That's exactly what I said, Dad. I'm like, honey. Oh, my gosh.
I obey the letter of the law, not the spirit.
Steph, I'm not making this up, am I?
You are not.
Well, that'll teach her to open up to you at dinner. Jeez.
Keep the line of communication.
What happened to you in school today? Nothing.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
No, she'll be like, I played with this person and I played with this person. She's going to have so many friends that she supposedly played with.
At some point, you're going to say, what happened in school today? She's going to go, what do you want to hear? You tell me. I handed out chocolate coins and played my acoustic guitar and led a praise and worship session. All right? Pass the green beans.
Well, Steph, let's give folks an update on Tell Us a Good Story.
Okay.
Because, Adam, it is like the floodgates have opened in regards to who we're talking to, who says yes to us. And Steph and I are always surprised when somebody says yes to us. And it's even more prominent here recently.
Well, and right after we took our little, like, month-long break, which was completely needed over winter or over Christmas break, we started struggling getting people back in the routine.
You were still asking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We're still asking and trying to get people booked to record. And it was just a struggle with dates and getting people ready to go. It just took a while to get rolling.
Or they'd say, like, yes, but not until, like, May.
Right.
And we're like, thank you so much. Yep. We can't wait.
Talk to me in the spring.
Yeah, talk to me in the spring. We're like, okay, we can do that. So for a while there, you talk about trusting God. It was like, oh my gosh, who are we going to get? And then last minute, someone would say yes, we would record. And a week later, it was the Friday.
Yep.
I'm like, now who are we going
to
get?
It was week to week.
Yeah. And Kevin's like, we'll just talk, you and me. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, what are we going to say to each other? Like, that's why we have Katie and Adam come. Nothing to say, Kevin.
Nothing left to say to you.
And then all of a sudden, it's just exploded. Where Kevin's like, okay, we're going to have to, like, slow down here with getting all these recordings. Like, no, we're not. No, we're not. Don't you remember how it was, like, come February?
But yes, it is.
When we were struggling to get somebody every week, and now we're booked out.
Okay, so Steph, right now, we're booked into June.
And, I am so happy about that. We are
9-10 weeks ahead.
I love it.
And they're booked, or we've already recorded them.
I know, it's amazing.
So we can't have the conversation like, hey, this is going to drop in October.
Yes, we can.
I was going to say,
so happy.
So when you say you're booked to June, that's recordings or?
So we have episodes we've either recorded or we're scheduled to record into June.
Gotcha. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Into June.
So one of my jobs, I don't have many jobs in Tell Us a Good Story. Kevin does it all.
Her
I
job
praise
is
Kevin.
Show up.
I just have to show up. Mm-hmm. Yes, I show up.
Like your job at the wedding.
Yes.
Right.
Be
just be there.
Tuxedo.
Just show up. Here's when we start.
So Kevin, he does it all. So my job, I've now committed to him, is I give him ideas of guests.
Of names.
Of names. Yes,
wow.
Of games. So
it's a good gig.
It is a good gig. I am constantly like messaging him. What about this? What about this? And honestly, he makes it happen.
Okay, so here's what Steph does though, Adam. She will send me the name. And so the name will be like Mark Hamill.
Luke Skywalker?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, okay, that's great. Mark Hamill. He's in Star Wars. Do you have a phone number? No. Do you have an email address? No. Do you have his PR agent? No.
You're the detail guy.
Thank how you. I'm giving you
how
ideas.
Am I supposed to reach out to this guy?
I'm a visionary. Hello.
So here's what Steph does. That night, she's like, okay, I'm going to find the contact information. So Steph puts in Mark Hamill contact information, okay?
I doubt that's on the internet.
So
got his cell number right there on Google.
We have already recorded a handful of episodes. Mm, and
they're so good.
This was actually Steph's idea.
So when I'm getting these ideas, I'll start like a couple of weeks ago. I was in the van. I'd taken tape to get like an assessment for kindergarten. Okay.
Oh, it's coming.
So I'm in the van and I just start praying. Like, God, who do you want for guests for Tell Us a Good Story? Like, whose story do we need to hear?
Do you want Kevin to look up?
Do we?
Mm-hmm. He looks bored.
He doesn't have enough on his plate. Exactly. What more can I put on his plate for him? So I'm like praying. I'm like, I'm not getting anything. So I start reading. And Adam, it was the craziest thing. All of a sudden, I heard plane crash, lone survivor, heaven. Like, I just felt like I heard that. I do exact those words. And this guy named Captain Dale Black pops up. And this man was in a plane crash. He was the only survivor, was killed, and he went to heaven and had this experience in heaven.
Out-of-body experience.
Out-of-body experience. 40 or 50 years later, he finally was able to talk about it.
So he went 40 years. He'd only told his grandfather. And his grandfather was like, you know what? I'd be careful who you share this story with. I don't want to share this story.
No, we're not going to
share the story. But he had a near-death experience, Adam. And he goes through this out-of-body experience and him going to heaven. And then him coming back.
Yeah.
And it gives you goosebumps when he's sharing the story.
So it happened, 50 years ago? But he just started telling it
10 years ago.
He still gets emotional. Like, I can't tell you how many times he got emotional while he was telling us. And it's just, he's just so sensitive to it still. And
because
it
changed his life.
It changed
completely changed his life.
So when that happened, I'm like, Kevin, I feel like if we have somebody go to heaven, let's see if we can find somebody that went to hell.
And have a heaven and hell series.
I'm going to be on a plane with my kids for 9 hours. So when I come back, I could probably cover that for you.
What is like going to hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throwing it out there.
We can have you as a follow-up to that one. Uh-huh. And just kind of compare stories.
Yeah.
So when I had this idea, all of a sudden, a listener reaches out, Christina Grady, and she's like, Stephanie, she's like, I just heard this podcast, and it was about this man, and he went to hell, and he tells a story. She's like, I think you should reach out to him. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, okay, we have, like, this is a sign, we have to do this.
I had never heard of someone experiencing hell. I'd only heard someone experiencing going to heaven.
Yes.
And I've heard those stories before, but not.
Never hell.
Never hell.
Never hell. So I sent the name to Kevin. Unfortunately, you think he might be sick because he hasn't been doing interviews.
Right.
So then, visionary, let me try to get another guest. So I found another guest. He's a pastor who went to hell 10 years ago. So we reached out, talked to him, and his story is
same thing.
Unbelievable.
Goosebumps, especially when he's like, wait, I'm going the wrong way.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I was like, oh, you know, is this going to be as good as like an atheist? Because the guy originally, he was an atheist, went to hell, turned his life around, is now a pastor, a missionary. And then I was like, wait a second. This is a pastor that went to hell. If your heart is not right with God, it doesn't matter what title you have on this earth. If you are not right, you will go to hell. So he tells his story, and it is unbelievable.
I think it's interesting that you're talking to people who had near-death experiences after trying to book somebody who had a right-on-the-money death experience.
Who's that?
Fosbury.
That is true.
It's kind of interesting. You know?
Yes.
It's like near-death experience, right-on-the-money death experience.
Like, we went too far?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's a good point, Adam. Another good point. I didn't know what you were talking about there, but yes. Yeah. We don't discriminate. Mm-hmm. Reach out to whoever we can.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry
about
it.
Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Then the next person that we're talking to next week is, his name's Mark Victor Hansen. He was co-author with Jack Canfield on Chicken Soup for the Soul. And so we've had to reschedule with him a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're scheduled again next Friday. He called me last week and apologized because he had missed some interviews that we had lined up. Adam, we talked for almost 20 minutes.
Hmm.
Incredible. So I believe he lives out in Arizona now and just had an incredible conversation with him. He sold over 500 million copies of this book.
Wow.
So this year marks the 30th anniversary of Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Hmm.
And what it's turned into just, I mean, it's a brand, not just books, right?
Yeah.
It literally turned
calendars
into a brand.
Calendars and
everything. Yeah. So then, Adam, he said, have you and Steph written a book yet? I said, yes, we have. He's like, send me the ebook.
Buy it like everyone else on Amazon. You gotta have boundaries.
We have standards
yeah.
here.
Like, what do you think this is, a charity?
Run a business over here. How dare you? So I sent it to him. The next day I get an email from him and it says, endorsement. Use this as an endorsement for your book. And he wrote us like a 3-sentence endorsement on why people should read our book. And then it was signed Mark Victor Hansen, co-author Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Nice.
It's very nice.
It's very cool.
Very
Don't
nice.
Worry. He's going to be after your
so,
endorsement.
I didn't know. I
you
didn't
will not
ask.
Be bumped.
I don't know who's going to get bumped. On that. So, there's limited space on that back cover. I know that real estate's valuable.
Here's what's funny. Listeners, if you're not aware, we wrote about 3 years ago about Steph and I's journey, and that's what led to Tell Us a Good Story. But at that point, we didn't know anybody in regards to a possible endorsement. So when you look at a book, typically you have friends or relationships of professional executives, other authors, whatever, and you have them endorse your book. Well, Steph and I, we didn't know anybody. So we put on there a quote from you, Adam, and it said, I think my buddy Kevin has officially written more books than he's read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought that was funny. So I put that quote on the back of our book just to be funny because we didn't have any endorsements. So now all these people that we've interviewed over the past 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
We could call them up at any time and have their names on the book as an endorsement, which mm-hmm. is nice, including
very cool.
Mark Victor Hansen.
Yes.
So a reprint is coming. Is that what you're saying?
It actually is.
I think it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it is. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Do the thing where the hardbound comes out. It's like $27.99.
Did you say $49.99?
See who snaps that up.
I don't know. We'll
hey,
see.
Hey, first editions are always more expensive.
Yeah, they are. They are. That's why I either go to the library or shoplift. That's one or the other.
Well, Steph, anything else you want to add to this about how things are going? And again.
So if you guys wouldn't mind writing Kevin and just letting him know that, you know, we love backlogs of guests. It's okay to have an extensive set of guests booked
pre-record
through rest of the year.
2025.
Like if you guys just want to encourage him and let him know that that is okay, I would really appreciate the visionary of this group would really appreciate.
But don't give me a phone number or anything.
Well,
either.
No, don't do that. I mean, make yeah. him work. He needs to work. That's why he's getting paid the big bucks here at Tell Us a Good Story.
He's a detail guy. You're like, Mark Hamill, something about Star Wars. Run with it. It's all yours.
friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.